We're doing Chafetz Chaim, and we were learning the details of when we're allowed to tell Lashon Hara. We were up to the fifth detail, and he had said the intention has to be for toilet. There has to be an intention for good. Veda, and I want you to know, says the Chafetz Chaim, then chiluk b'chol ha'pratim eilu, ben im bikesh oto ha'nigzal v'ha'nizak v'ha'mitpayesh shidushu avrot ha'ezek o elbono lo bikshu. It doesn't matter if someone asked you or not. It doesn't matter if someone asked you to seek out their damages or not. If it's going to be a benefit, you have to deal. I'm going to pause off the camera for a minute. So the Chafetz Chaim says, doesn't matter if someone's coming and complaining. Someone's saying, hey, I was robbed. I was wronged. There's a concept here of toilet. If something good's going to come of it, you have to deal with it. If it's permissible because good things are going to come of it, then even if the person who was robbed didn't ask you to do it, you have to step up to the plate. And if it's prohibited to speak that way, if you didn't fulfill all the details that we said, all the details to make it permissible, then even if he asks you, hey, can you do this on my behalf? Well, if you don't have the details that make it permissible, you can't. The Chafetz Chaim says something that should be obvious, but it isn't obvious. Chafetz Chaim says, and even if it's your relative, gam ken asur. Yeah, even if it's your relative. Your wife complains that the neighbor's kids are destroying the laundry. Can you go and put up a sign that the neighbors should please stop destroying the laundry? Wait a second, you're going to put up a sign. You're shaming the neighbor. Right? So a guy once asked me, they lived in an apartment where the neighbor above them would take haircuts and drop their hair on their laundry, shake out their hair. So his wife finished washing, she's hanging out the laundry to dry, she finds it filled with hair, she can start her work all over again. Can you put up a sign in the entrance to the building, please stop throwing your hair out the window? No. Go deal with the neighbor. Don't shame them publicly in front of everyone. They're wrong. But that doesn't give us a right to shame them. We were once giving class here, and there was someone outside who was talking loudly. And I went out and I asked them, I can't concentrate, the guys can't concentrate, can you please stop? Okay, it happened once, it happened twice. Finally, the guard got upset and he started yelling at him and yelling at him. And then he grabbed the guy and pulled him into the class. And he said, right, you asked him twice not to yell, not to talk loudly. So I said, I don't remember if it's him. Which is true. But the guard afterwards came to me very upset. He said, you can't trust me when I say it's him. I said, wait a sec. I couldn't explain to him. He was too upset. But my logic was, the fact that the guy was wrong does not entitle me to shame him in front of everyone. He's wrong. He's bothering. But does that mean now we can yell at him in front of everyone?
Sometimes that's the only way.
That doesn't make it permissible.
What happens if this guy with the just doesn't really care, just says, okay, I want to do it that way, or just tells
that's exactly what was happening there. So you got to find other solutions. You don't have to suffer. Find other solutions.
The only solution is public shame. That's the only solution. Otherwise, suffer.
Public shame is not always a tool I can use. I can't always publicly shame someone.
I don't guarantee that's
going to
be a solution either.
If people say too bad, but if reasoning doesn't work with the guy who throws the hair in the garden, the only thing that will help is public shaming.
Maybe. I mean, there are plenty of people who don't like their neighbors, and people know their pains, and it doesn't stop them.
Right. I agree.
Social pressure works sometimes. That's you have to know when you can use it, when you can't. In this case, to bring someone in after the fact, well, that's a bad thing. I mean, the person who brought him in.
Uh-huh. No, it was still the middle of the class. Yeah. If it was the same person, I really didn't remember. So Chafetz Chaim says this is very common that people mess up on this. that if they hear someone did something to their relative, even if they don't know the exact fact or why, they right away, they're ready to finish the guy off. And they think, oh, I'm taking care of my relative, I'm standing up for my relative. And that's a big mistake, because it doesn't matter if it's your relative or not. You have to figure out what's permissible and what's not permissible. And where this really comes up is with regards to your children. A child comes home and says, the teacher locked me in a room for an hour. You say, what? And the child says, yeah. Or the child comes home and says, the teacher locked me in a closet for 10 minutes. And you say, what? So now you're ready to kill the teacher. What the child didn't tell you is that he threw a brick through the window, and then he picked it up and tried to throw it at the teacher. He picked up the shards of glass, started chasing after other children in the classroom. That part he didn't tell you. He was totally out of control. Ah, so now the story takes on a different tone. So we very often are quick to take the side of our relative and fight for them because we feel like that's what we're supposed to do, and then we make fools of ourselves. This could be with our children, this can be with our spouses. We fight a fight that's really not ours, and we don't even know it, and we don't know who's right, and we don't know what our rights are. We have to be careful. We have to be very, very careful. And we'll end just with a famous story that a guy left his wife for many years for business. And when he came home, he saw her sleeping in bed with a young man. So he said, oh, all these years passed, now she's sleeping in bed with a young man. He drew his sword, but he remembered that when he was a youngster, he had once visited a rabbi for a blessing, and the rabbi told him, make me one promise. Anytime you're about to do something out of anger, you're going to wait till the next morning and you won't do it. So he drew his sword and he looked at his wife sleeping there under the window beneath him. He saw the young man there lying next to her, and he said, I promised the rabbi I could kill him tomorrow. So he puts his sword back in his sheath, and he spends the night, and he comes the next morning, and he's boiling. He slams open the front door, he draws his sword, he says, where are you? So his wife says, what are you doing? So he says, where's your lover? She says, that's your son. He says, what son? She says, after you left, I discovered I was pregnant. It's been 20 years. He wasn't feeling well last night. I held him. He has a fever. You can go see him lying in bed. That's your son. Ah, so he would have killed his wife. He would have killed his son. Only later to find out that that the child had a fever and she was holding him and trying to keep him cool that night. And that's why he thought, she was with another man. He waited. He bided his time. He saved himself the agony of knowing he had destroyed his life. So we're quick to judge. The Chafetz Chaim says the rules are the same for family members. Slow down. Find out what's halachically permissible. And whatever isn't permissible for someone else, then it doesn't become permissible just because it's your relative.